How's everybody doing this morning? You know, can I tell y'all, hold on a second. Let me stop there. Can I tell you guys, I'm trying to wean myself off the southern stuff. So if I slip out with the y'all, I'm trying to actually move over to the, what do y'all say up here? You all? You guys are the best, man. So, I don't even know where I'm going now. We went out to the Secretary of State's office. Can I tell you, my wife is officially somebody from Illinois. I'm still a holdout. I'm a holdout. Some reason they didn't like my orange truck and they didn't want to register my orange truck, so I'll wait till I get done. I tell you that because I have an authority issue with the government. The rest of y'all need to be at my altar after service. Because the ones who didn't raise your hand, we'll have a time of response at the end. And the reason I struggle with this, some of this stuff is because it is hard to trust in some of our rules, laws, leaders. You've heard me say it up here before that I don't think that necessarily they'd work in our best interest all the time. Schools are starting. I don't know which side of the fence you're on, and it doesn't matter. But it gets contentious. And it divides churches, and it divides congregation, and it divides communities. And it's a sad thing. The joy is, the parents are like, school has started. I got 9 months of peace as long as I'm there when they get home. I still go to school. You guys know that? I'm entering my 25th year. You know what that makes me? Who said crazy? And somebody out there, you may not have said it out loud, but you're thinking it. No, what that makes me is a professional student. It means I'm a pro. And you know what I like most about school? I like history. You're like, now he's really crazy. I'd have been even more crazy if I'd have said math, right? Anybody else here like studying history besides me? The people who raise their hands are the one who've lived it the most. I love history. History teaches us about where we came from and how we got to where we are. How many people have done that genealogy thing where you've chased your family history back? That's pretty cool when you find out about where your family has come from. History also, and for the youth that were up here, a lot of times that family history that we just talked about helps kind of like predetermine the way that we see our children, right? She's like her mother. He's like his father. Chip off the old block. You know these things, right? Some of them we're not necessarily so proud of. Other things of our past, we in our history, we embrace fully. You know what I'm talking about? It teaches about, history teaches us about who we are as a community, who we are as a nation. Joshua, this whole thing, is what we call a book of history. It talks about the history of Israel and how they got to where they are. You know what, though? Can I confess something, y'all? I really love preaching out of the Old Testament because there's so many timely truths in there that we just kind of glance over because, like Joe said, Jericho, Jonah, those are really cool stories. And that's kind of where we leave them off at, is just stories. But as we've been walking through Joshua, this is what, week five now, right? Week five, we've been talking about Joshua, we've been talking about new beginnings. How many of us in here feel the Spirit moving? I do. I feel the Spirit moving in the life of this congregation. I feel the Spirit moving in the lives of some of the individuals in here. And I feel the Spirit moving in me. And it's out of the Old Testament. It's out of the stories and the history of the Old Testament that man, I get to stand up here and preach, and I get to be granted the privilege of explaining and talking about the stories and the truths of the Old Testament. Yes! Man, I'm excited. Is this thing on? Huh? Would you go grab a piece of a plate of glass or something and just hold it under everybody's nose and make sure we're all breathing? Over these past few weeks, right, we saw how hard, we looked at a lot of things, man, where God said, I want you to trust me. We saw it in Rahab. We saw it in the submission of Israel to the leadership of Joshua. We saw it in the crossing of the Jordan River. And we saw it in the reestablishment of the covenant. Four things already we have seen that God says, if you do this, I'm going to do this, trust me. Today, the title of my sermon today, I put it up there as this: you want me to do what? Because that's who I am. God, you want me to do what? There have been so many times in my life that I have said yes to God. And in what? Tried to do it my way. Because you know why? My plan is better. You all know what I'm talking about. Can I say that I God says, I want you to quit your $80,000 a year and go to Florida and preach for $500 a month. And I said, what? I have a problem with that whole thing. I have a problem sometimes with that whole thing. Like, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Don't we trust? Amen. We're going to look at Jericho today, except not necessarily from Joshua's eyes. We're going to look at it from the guy that's in the middle of the line, that's marching around the city. And we're going to look at it from the guy who's in the back of the line. We're going to look at those today. You got that video ready to roll up there? Can I help tell the story a little bit differently? Will y'all watch this video for me?
On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound the long blast, have all the people give a loud shout, and the walls of the city will collapse, and Jericho will be yours.
Those were very interesting directions.
They sure were. Josh went back to camp and told the plan to the rest of the Israelites.
The city will collapse, and Jericho will be yours.
They thought it was interesting, too.
So, we're supposed to hop around the city for 7 days, blow our little horns, yell, and the walls are just gonna fall down.
Yep, those are God's directions.
Well, I'm sure that would work great, If the walls were made out of jello!
Ooh, then we could eat them.
Last call for Egypt. Who's coming with me?
Just a minute. I think you'll find our plan a bit more sophisticated. Blowing horns in the desert isn't gonna do it. What we need is serious firepower. Sherry, the curtain!
How are we clapping?
I have no idea.
That's us. That right there is us. Come on. Y'all know it's true. God says, I want you to walk around the city 6 days, and on the seventh day, you're going to do it one more time. And you're like, that'll never work. That's us. Golly, you know, who doesn't love the VeggieTales? Y'all love the VeggieTales? Y'all got grandkids? I got the 4-pack. Y'all want to borrow it, let me know. I'll let you watch all four. I'll let you watch the whole video. Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber, they had it right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to dive into God's Word today. Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for forgiving us when we fail to trust in what you show us. And Lord, I thank you that you are a God of second chances, that even when we fail, Lord, you still love us your love for us is still unfailing. You are the God who parted the sea and calmed those same seas. And even though we believe and have watched you do these things in our own lives, we still struggle to believe. I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, today as we gather to hear your word, help us to listen and to believe. Not just in the beauty of the history, but in the application that it has for each of us. Help us to learn to trust in the future we can't see. The future, Lord, that you have already written. So, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit. We ask it, Lord, it may give us the perception and clarity to discern what your word is for each of us and us as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, you know how I like to do things. I'm going to talk about things. I'm going to talk about like what we do before, what we do in the middle, and what we do after. And we're going to tie it up like this. We're going to kind of take this plane off, and we're going to leave the airport, and we're going to start back. New beginnings, what we had, the befores. The befores are what we have to learn is that our victories are already assigned to us even before we start. The beginnings start from a place of victory. Second, I'm going to tell you about the enemy of uncertainty can be overcome by faith. The enemy of uncertainty can be overcome by faith. And finally, we're going to wrap this up by remembering to give God the glory after the victory. So let's look at the before. New beginnings start from a place of victory. New beginnings start from a place of victory. If you're ready to go up there, let's go, Lord. Joshua 6:1-6 says this. We ready to go, big guy? Hops up. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. I'm reading from Joshua 6:1-6. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all your men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do this for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And then when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before them. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horn before the ark of the Lord. Are we walking like Joshua, or we are walking like the VeggieTales? Huh? Seriously, I want to ask, because if I was Joshua, I'm like, heck yeah, I'm all in, because I had just heard from the army, Lord's commander of the army. I'm all in. But what about that cat who's in the middle of the line, who didn't hear from the commander of the army of the Lord? Who's sucking up the dust of all the thousands of people that are walking before him? What about him? What about the guy who's all the way in the back of the line, who can't even see the front of the line, and every day he gets up and he's like, time to go walking. Time to wipe it. Time to eat the dust. Personally, me, I'm having a hard time getting up every day for 6 days and walking around the city. Who's with me on this? Because by the third day, I'm like, who's the chief clown in front of this circus? And why am I walking around this city again? And they're tooting the horns, and I'm sucking dust, and I got no water. And I'm complaining, and I'm grumbling. Who's by the sixth day, you get up and you're like, oh, please, Lord, thank you. Only one more day I got to do this. And you're still not buying into it because you're tired of walking. You see where I'm going with this? It's hard. It's hard to trust in a future that the Lord has already prepared for us that we can't see, because we know where he wants us to go, but we got to figure out how we're going to get us there. As a church and as individuals, we have to figure out how we are going to get there. What I also want you to see is the difference between the guys in the front of the line who were up there with Joshua, the guys in the middle of the line, and the guys in the back of the line. The difference is their relationship with the Lord. Joshua had been spending time with God, and he had been listening to God, and he had heard from God. The guy in the middle and the guy in the back, like, why am I following this guy? I know the Lord supposedly talked to him. And I know supposedly he heard from God, but he didn't talk to me. I didn't hear from the Lord. By the third day, I'm like, did that guy really hear from God? And is this really what he told us to do? But go back to what the scripture said. The Bible said this in the very first part of this thing. He said, see, I have given Jericho unto your hand with its king and with its men of valor. I have given. Past tense, it's already done. I have given it to you. In short, you've already won, Joshua. All you got to do is follow my instructions and then go collect the prize. How many of us would be like that if the Lord came to you and said, I want you to walk around Jericho? That's hard to trust. And y'all don't gamble, do you? Don't admit it right now. But if you did gamble, and you did play the scratchers or the Powerball, which don't admit you do, unless you win, then 10% comes to the church. But how many, and this is truth, this is seriously truth, how many of us, if God came to us in a vision and said, I'm giving you the numbers to the Powerball on Wednesday, how many of you would trust him to go put $2 down on them numbers? Heck yeah! Yeah, we're all in for that. We tend to trust God with the little things in our lives. But when it comes to the big things, that's the harder part, is to trust God in things yet unseen. Are you guys familiar with, anybody watch The Crown or that the Queen Elizabeth stuff? Y'all like that Queen Elizabeth, those historical things? Anybody heard of Mary, Queen of Scots? Mary, Queen of Scots was the truly, according to the Catholic Church, the rightful heir of England when Elizabeth I took over England. This is your history lesson for the day, so when you go on Jeopardy, you'll say, I'll take Mary, Queen of Scots for $1,000. Mary, Queen of Scots, this is what she said. I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear any army coming against me. What does that say? I fear the prayers of John Knox, who was a Protestant, by the way. He was the founder of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland. And yet she says, I fear prayer more than an army. Is society today afraid of God's people? Probably not. Because we really haven't done much to display the power of God in the world. I take that back. Sure, there was God's not dead. And God's not dead too. We showed him on a movie screen how powerful God was. But we are no longer the church that Mary, Queen of Scots, feared. In fact, the church is so much like the world that it really takes little notice of us, except as a voting block. Warren Wiersbe said this. You got that slide for me up there? He says, we imitate the world's methods. We cater to the world's appetites, we solicit the world's approval, and we measure what we do in according with the world's standards. Is it any wonder that we don't gain the world's respect? Those are hard words. And so in that, we struggle to claim the inheritance that God has prepared for us. Because we don't trust. We put our trust in elections instead of the Lord. We put our trust in politicians instead of prayer. Remember the man whose son was demon possessed? And he took his boy to the disciples. And he says, they can't cast this out. The Bible says this in Mark 9:22-23. He says, he takes the child and he lays it at Jesus. He says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us. And help us, if you can. If you can. Maybe when our hearts feel this way, maybe we should remember what Jesus said to that man. Remember what he said? Jesus said, if you can. If you can, all things are possible for those who believe. Every one of us has some of these Jerichos in our life. We have some of these walls that we can't seem to figure out how to tear down. Why? Because sometimes we truly doubt the power of God. We try and make sense of things ourselves. We try to rationalize in our minds, and we base everything on our past experience or the past experiences of others. And when we do this, defeat seems just as probable as victory. Everywhere your footsteps set, I have given to you. This guy named Jay Hudson Taylor, I'm not asking you to go look him up or Google him, but if you want, you can. He said he gave three different ways in which the church serves the Lord. And he said number one, make the best plans we can and hope they succeed. You want to pop that next slide up for me? He said number two, next slide, to make our own plans and ask God to bless them. And number three, finally, the right way, ask God for his plans and then do what he tells us. That way always works. So we see that the new beginnings always start from a place of victory. Second, I want to talk about during the middle of the process, where the enemy really has to come against us all the time. He said, uncertainty is the enemy and can overcome by faith through worship. Listen to what it says in Joshua 6:6-14. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city and let the armed men pass on before the ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded, the people, the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the Lord, went forward, blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard. Neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day that I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout. So he has caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early the next morning, and they took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord walked on. And they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did for 6 days. This is worship. We may see it as a parade of an army, but this is worship. You know why this is worship? Because worship is obedience to the Lord. It's true worship. It's not just worship. It's true worship. You see, because I promise you, after day four, I wouldn't be the one who was not talking. If Joe and I were walking on day four around the city of Jericho, I'd be like, Joe, are you kidding me, man? I'm dying here. And Joe would look at me and go, duh, bears. That's who we are. I'm just supposed to believe it. I'm just supposed to get up, have my breakfast, walk around the city, and keep my mouth shut. What hampers our faith the most? You guys know what that is? It's our willingness and our faith to be obedient. It's our willingness and our faith to be obedient. And you know why? Because usually in our lives, we had some hurt inflicted upon us. Usually, and most often, it's usually by someone who we never expected to do it. And they probably weren't even aware that they did it. Maybe we were bullied. Maybe we were abused verbally, physically. Maybe our home life wasn't the best. And in, through all this, we ask, where was God? I am not Joshua. I'm going to confess that out to you right now. I am not Joshua. I have abandonment issues. I had abandonment issues. And I had them because growing up, every person that I loved or loved me left. And I didn't trust God to love me fully and completely. And so I argued with God. And I fought with God. And somehow I'm just supposed to believe him. I didn't trust him. Because I thought he would leave me too. I thought that he would leave me when I needed him most. Notice I said, had. I had abandonment issues. You see, it wasn't until I learned to completely surrender my life to the Lord. It wasn't until I fully learned what worship, when I fully learned what true worship meant. Does that make sense? Did it come easy? Heck no. I'm hard-headed. I got to do everything the hard way. I had to fall down. I had to listen. I had to worship. Then I had to listen again. And then I had to obey. I had to start following the instructions that God gave me. And once I did that, I had freedom. I had freedom. I hear a lot of talk, and you guys do too, right? We hear a lot of talk about freedom and personal freedoms. Can I tell you this? That there is only one true freedom, and it comes through Jesus Christ. Amen? There is one true freedom, and it comes through Jesus Christ. You know what else I'm going to tell you? That the only freedom that we really have is to full on confess every concern that we have, every concern to Jesus. That's freedom. That's what true freedom is. It's being able to open our hearts, open our voices, and completely give everything to the Lord. That's what Joshua did. Remember when he saw the commander of the Lord's army? What did he do? He fell down flat, and then he listened, and then he got up and he said, yes. Joshua followed what God said, regardless of what all those people behind him thought. He didn't care what everybody said. He was going to be all in for what God had told him to do. There has never been anything more important to God than reclaiming his people for himself. Amen? And he did that through Jesus Christ, right? We know this. Jesus came into this world with one intention, to save us. And how did he do that? By completely surrendering and being obedient to the will of the Father. Knowing everything that was in front of him, knowing everything that he faced, he said what? If this be my cup, I will drink from it. And he did so because of his great love. How many of us love the Lord? Just one, two, three, four, five. Where y'all at, the rest of you? Oh, Dave, thanks, man. Glad to see you're in. Oh, hi, bud. Thank you. Look, the balcony's all in. Y'all need to go sit in the balcony. Balcony's where it's happening. They're all saved out there. You remember what Jesus said to us? I will put it. You got it up on the screen already? Heck yeah, he did. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? What? Why do we call him Lord, Lord, and then not surrender to what he wants us to do? I want you to hear me on this. I really want you to hear me on this. The point of not doing what he tells us is not like you telling your parents that I ain't going to take the trash out. That's not what this is all about. The thing that Jesus tells us, it's just everything he's telling us to do is about worship. It's about doing the things because he loves us. And then being obedient because we love him. He goes on to say this. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. When our love for him overcomes our selfish will, and when we come to the point in our spiritual life that we buy into this, then that is our spiritual breakthrough. That's the point when we really can deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. This is the stuff that I'm talking about right now, is authentic worship. It's what helps us, this authentic worship. This surrender and embracing the faith that comes with obedience is exactly what helps us overcome the uncertainty of the enemy. Whew. Lastly, we need to remember that after those victories, we have to glorify God. The last five verses say this. On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of the day, and they marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make a camp of Israel, a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they shouted a great shout. And the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they captured the city. But all the silver, gold, and every vessel of bronze, iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. And then I put up here verse 20. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown, and as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, they shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up, and every man, and they captured the city. On the seventh day, in Hebrew, it means day seven. Man, it was funny when I did it by myself. It means the seventh day. It's like in the order of time. But that's what importantly what I want you to see here. And that you're like, why is he focusing on seven? Because he mentioned it three times in verse 15 and another two times in verse 16. That's important. But why is it important, preacher? Because they're demonstrating to us the importance of obedience. They're demonstrating to us through this story of history that when you do things God wants us to do in accordance with what he wants us to do, things happen. More importantly, or most importantly, they didn't fire the wall of Nader 3000. They didn't break out the heavy artillery and start bashing the wall. You see, brothers and sisters, my family, listen to what I'm about to tell you. This battle was not fought in the physical. It was fought in the spiritual. It was fought in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. The physical realm, all it did was carry out what had already been determined in the spiritual realm. I could sit here and spend a ton of time on the military aspects of this. But all that military stuff takes a back seat when the Lord says, I have already given this city to you and everything in it. I have already given to you. Everybody in here, me included, we all have some form of Jericho in our lives. We do. And we would be remiss if we didn't openly confess that to ourselves. On the back of the programs, did y'all get a program coming in? On the back of the program, there's a thing on sermon notes. Inside, there's a form that talks about prayer requests. And so I want you to fill out those prayer requests today, because there's going to be a bunch of people here tonight praying for you. But I want you to either write down or take a mental note. What is the Jericho in your life? Maybe you have more than one. Maybe you have several of these Jericho moments. Maybe they're temptations or struggles with doubt or trust, like Mary said earlier. Maybe they're issues of bitterness or betrayal. Maybe an unforgiving spirit. An illness, a loss of a loved one. Maybe there's just an emotional struggle that we're going through. Maybe an addiction. Struggle with an ex or a soon-to-be ex. But as much as this is for us, it's also for us as the church. What do we feel that's holding us back? What do we feel that's holding us back that's not allowing us to let God lead forth? Because I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, programs and programming do not fix churches. They don't. What fixes churches is the body of Christ coming together in unity. What fixes churches is drawing near to God and allowing Him to go before us, fighting in the Spirit for us. My brother here is chair of our CE board, right? There's a story of the chairman, just not much unlike Handsome Joe here. There's a story of the director of a CE board who went into one of his Sunday school classes for his youth, and he was a fill-in because, as we all know, people need to take time off. And so he rounded up this one, and so he went in there and he said, I'm just going to check. So he asked the young lads in there. He said, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And every one of the little kids says, not me, man. I had nothing to do with it. I don't know who walked. I don't know, but I know it wasn't me. I had nothing to do with it. Well, the director of the CE, he got like, what? So that night just happened to be the director of the CE board meeting. And so he goes up in front of the CE board and he goes, you know what happened to me today? He says, I went to the youth class and I asked him who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and everyone denied it. None of them would admit to knowing who did it. And the board looked perplexed. Finally, this grizzly old veteran who'd seen enough church battles in his life, he stands up and he walks over and he talks to the CE director. He puts his arm around him. He said, brother, I can see this bothers you a lot. But I've known these boys all my life, and I can promise you, if they said they didn't do it, they didn't do it. Why don't we just take some money out of the building fund and fix the walls and just let it go? That's who we are. Do we allow God to conquer our walls for us? Do we allow God to knock down our walls? Are we allowing God to fight the battles for us? I remember, can I tell y'all a quick story? And I'm gonna, man, I am in a rabbit hole right now, Joe. You're gonna have to like chase me out of here. I remember one day I was being asked to come before this board and knew it was not gonna be good. Because it was not on a night when any other meeting was a called meeting, and so I knew that somebody was there were some concerns. And as I mentally prepared this, I armed my quiver with a whole bunch of Bible verses ready to. I was not going to stand for them to tell me. I was going to retaliate with Bible verses. My Bible's in my hand, my notepad's in my hand, and I'm walking down the aisleway. And the Lord spoke to me. And all he could say to me, and he spoke not a word. And he spoke not a word. And at that moment, I realized that this was not a physical battle. It was a battle in the spiritual realm that he had to fight for me. And so I gave up that. I gave up my, I put down my arrows and took up his armor. You see, for us to allow God to fight for us first requires us to have patience. And I know patience is supposed to be a virtue, but it's not our virtue. And then we have to wait on God and allow God to lead. And we have to quiet. We have to be quiet and allow God to fight for us. I'm gonna get through this. And he says, because the Lord said in Psalm 46:10, he said this. He said, "Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God." When Jesus, who is our example, faced similar inquiries before Pilate, before the council, all the false accusations, abuses, and throughout all the interrogations, he spoke not a word. The fall of Jericho is an encouragement for us to allow God to fight for us. Jesus said in John 17, he says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have gave me." Shouldn't that be our battle cry? This includes the things that the Lord requires of you. People are looking, and when you're alone, when you're alone, "I glorified you on earth." One of my favorite passages says, "Whatever you do on earth," Colossians 3:23-24, it's my life verse. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. The Lord Christ is the one you're serving." Pam, you about ready? You always sit over there. Let Pam be a shining example for y'all to sit wherever you want in a sanctuary. A few minutes ago, we're going to go into our time response. A few minutes ago, I asked you guys to take an inventory. Just the mental notes. Remember what Jesus said? He says, "I am the vine. I am the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But right, if you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit." We always think about that as trying to win souls for Christ. What fruit are you bearing? Jesus said this is the fruits of the Spirit. He said they're what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you experiencing these fruits? If you'll bow your head and close your eyes, Pam's going to play for us, and I'm going to walk us through a time of response here.